Welcome, everyone. This is workshop number 5, and we're going to learn about the Spirit-Empowered, Biblically-Centered Worship Experience by Ray Burgess.
Thank you. All right. They told me I have 30 minutes. I'm Hispanic, so I'm going to try my very best to stay within that 30 minutes. But the Spirit-Empowered, Biblically-Centered Worship Experience, try to say that 5 times very, very fast. It seems like it's a lot of words, a lot of language, but it's so powerful when we think about what it is to be Spirit-Empowered. We've been learning in these sessions about Spirit empowerment, and we've been hearing a lot of just the Word of God and being focused and centered in His Word. And those are two elements, and we're going to get into that today, of importance when it comes to the worship experience. So let me ask a question, and I'm going to be very open with all of you today. When you think about worship experience, when you think about a Sunday morning, what comes to mind for you? What's important to you when you're getting ready to lead, sing, play an instrument? What's important to you when you come into Sunday service? It starts before I get there. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah.
Preparation
for the people to receive. What's another thing for you that comes to mind when you think about worship and what's important to you when you come into a Sunday service ready to worship?
Entering into the presence of the Lord.
How about one more? One more. I saw a hand. Oh, actually, two more. Two more. Let's go with you first,
Reverence
brother.
Reverence in His holy name.
Wow.
To minimize distractions.
This is amazing. Can y'all come to my church too? I love that. And I saw one more hand here. Anyone here?
Just practicing the discipline of praying with the team before having that pre-gaming the prayer.
Yeah, that pre-game, before that pre-game meeting, just getting everyone together, spiritually ready. Yes, all that is all important stuff. I think all of that is key and essential to the worship experience. But how many know that there is a battle between trying to be connected to the Spirit of God and then the duties of worship,
yeah.
Right? The duties, the responsibilities of worship. So I want to share with you quickly that there's always a battle, and there's a battle between two things, okay? Number one, and that's when I'm going to go to this right over here. There is the religious experience versus the true worship experience, okay? So this is a battle that we face as pastors, as worship leaders, as all those that are part of that experience of worship. And in the context of what we're talking about today, we're talking about actually leading on a worship ministry, leading on a team. But there's a battle. So what is the difference? What is the religious experience? What is the true, genuine worship experience? And a religious experience, we're going to look at these differences. Number one, it makes you feel good for a moment, okay? A true worship experience opens up your heart for the Holy Spirit to work in you. Oftentimes, we can get so caught up in the duties of worship, right? The responsibility of the Levite. Mm-hmm. And we get caught up in this religious experience, and we tend to forget what matters most. And if we get caught up, whether you're a participant in the worship experience or if you're the one that's leading the worship experience, we can sometimes fall into this religious experience. You feel good because, you know, the worship sounded great. How many felt good when somebody came up to you and said, "Wow, you sang really good. Wow, you tore it up, girl." Mm-hmm. Or somebody come up to you and say, "Yo, man, you killed it on the drums, bro. You killed it on the drums." You feel good. And here's the thing. A pat on the back is a beautiful thing. I learned that earlier today in one of the sessions. Pat on the back is a beautiful thing, you know. But if we stay on constantly wanting to just get a pat on the back, and not remember that what God called us is to be in His presence, be Spirit-filled, and allow His precious Holy Spirit to lead us, we will always be running for an affirmation instead of running to the throne room of God. So the religious experience versus the true worship experience. Are you still with me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to number 2. A religious experience is always about you. But a true worship experience is always about Him.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Yes, sir. It's always about Him. So have you ever found yourself whether you were the participant or whether you were the one leading, where it's always about my need. It's always about what I want. It's always about what I can get, you know. And this is where we fall victim to this experience. It becomes religious, and we put in our minds this expectation on God, where I'm going to come and I'm going to do all my due diligence and my duties and my responsibilities because I'm expecting for God to give me something in return. And we tend to have an exchange relationship with God, and that falls into a religious experience. It's always about me. Some of y'all have prayed this before. I've prayed this even as a pastor. Lord, give me everything. Give me the things that I desire. Lord, I pray that the congregation can just, you know, be able to be captivated by what I need to say today. I'm being real with you. And it's all about me. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit hits me and says, it's not about you.
Come on.
It's about Him. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, if we are living a Spirit-filled, empowered life, it's always going to be about Him. And we allow the transformative power and work of the Holy Spirit to do whatever He needs to do in us. But sometimes we fall victim to this mentality. It's like we have a victim mentality under this religious experience where, Lord, woe is me. Lord, give me what I need so I could feel better. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes the religious experience sounds more like this. Well, Lord Jesus, you know, a couple of people were mad about the worship today. They're mad because of this or that, or you know all the complaints. How many have heard complaints from the congregation?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
called criticisms. Criticisms, complaints. You know, and oftentimes we can fall as the leader to the religious experience because now we're hurt. It's now we make it about us. Lord, change their hearts. Lord, make them understand what's going on. You know, and those are good prayers sometimes. Lord, help unveil and uncover the eyes. But when it's coming from a heart of I'm hurt, as opposed to a heart that's healed, you know, you can really, you can make it all about yourself, all because of all the criticism and attacks that come this way. But when you make it about Him, Lord, may Your will be done in this worship service. You know, may Your will be done when we're prepping and planning. Lord God, and this is the prayer, and my team is here to be a witness. I always say, Lord, remove our agenda. Take away whatever my agenda is, and Lord, let us be aligned to Your agenda. That's a true worship experience prayer right there. Lord, let it be about what You want. Okay? The third thing, and I have a few things I want to share with you today, and I want to hear you a little bit. A religious experience is about what I can get. A true worship experience is about what I need to surrender.
There it is.
Did you hear that?
I mean.
It's about what I can get versus what I need to surrender. So when you talk about what I can get, what does that sound like? You know, well, Lord, I do all this for You. And maybe this is not your prayer, but sometimes our attitude is like this. Mm. Well, Lord, I do all this for You. I mean, the least You can do is just, you know, pour a little grain of something over here for me and bless me. Mm. Lord, I sacrificed all this stuff, and this is how You're going to repay me? Lord, I'm due. Give me what I want right now. And a lot of us are like, well, you know, Ray, I never prayed like that before. But sometimes our character and attitude comes from this posture of, well, I've done all this stuff, Lord. Give me what I want because I sacrificed for You. And that's a religious mentality, religious experience, you know. But when you're in the true worship experience, it's about what I need to surrender.
Amen.
There are things within me that the Lord is saying, I need you to give that to me. That attitude, I need you to give that to me. But I'm the worshiper. But I'm the one that's leading. But I'm the one that's playing. Or I'm the one that's navigating all this. No, remove it from them, God. But when you're in a true worship experience, a true worshiper knows that God always starts with who? Right? God always starts with me. Can we say that together? Ready? God always starts with me. So before we point the finger of, well, they just don't get it. They have the attitude problem. They don't understand. They're mean, they're evil, they're bad. We have to look at, come on. How many have said they're evil? All these people are evil. I've said that as a worship pastor, as a worship leader, I've said that many times. These people you've given me, Lord, are evil. How dare you, God? You give me all this when I'm such a humble guy. But then God says, well, let's talk about that right there. There's something deeper in what you're saying. So a true worship experience is about what I can surrender to the Lord. He wants you to surrender all that dirt and all that mess. Because there's a term that I use a lot, especially in my church, is sometimes we could be leading bleeding. And what happens is when you're leading bleeding, you tend to bleed all over your team. And the only blood that should be on your team is the blood of Jesus. Not my messed up, grossed out, evil deeds of blood that's falling over everybody. And that's where, and we've learned a lot today in a lot of these sessions, the Lord wants to heal. He wants to do something in your soul. He wants to clean up some mess here so you can lead from a place of freedom, not from a place of slavery. And when we're in a religious experience, we can lead from a place of slavery. We become enslaved. You know, we become victims of our own emotions. You know, the Bible talks about how the heart is deceitful above all things. And we can allow or cause our hearts and our emotions to hijack the very thing God is calling us to let go of, or hijack the very thing God is calling us to continue to move forward in. So we have to have the true worship experience, because the true worship experience starts with me. Amen. One person got it. Amen.
It's good.
Okay. So let's continue with this. And we'll get into this in one moment. But there are so many tasks to do when leading a worship ministry. Can you share with me just a few things that are the duties of worship? But we talked about spiritual stuff. What are the duties of worship? And I'll give you one. Rehearse prepping. Oh, how many love rehearsal? So, just a show of hands, how many are actually worship leaders that you're leading worship ministries? Okay, so we have one, two, right? Okay, so is your worship leader in the room today? Those that are not worship leaders, are they in the room today? Okay, let's act like they don't exist right now. How many get bothered when you come into a worship practice and your worship leader is just going in and ready to just conquer the world? How many get bothered? And they're like, come on, man, this is... It becomes a burden and a stress as a musician or as a singer. How many sometimes get a little bit stressed out?
I'm not the one like that. I am.
Oh, you're the one like that.
It's me.
So you're the one that gives him stress.
Probably.
Wow.
Now that
do you
might be my
do you
job.
Plead the fifth?
I do.
I'm a friend.
Well, I can tell you. Hey, listen. We have a lot of moms on our worship ministry. We have a lot of different demographics and ages in our ministry. But the one thing I can tell you is that there's always this unsaid thing inside of someone, and it always begins to fester. Is we tend to clash. Mm-hmm. When you're a worshiper and you're a leader, and the participants are going to clash at times, and that's where we tend to kind of, you know, go at each other, you know. I mean, I've seen a lot of things in worship ministry. I've had moments, I'll tell you this, as a worship leader, I've had all kinds of cultures that were within the team. I've had people that were very expressive. I've had people that were very silent. I've had people that, you know, that they're silent and they smile, but behind your back, they're very, you know, I hate this guy. Those are the ones that scare me.
Yeah, because why are they there?
I don't know. I'm praying about
right.
it.
Right. No. Exactly. Why are they
right.
There?
You pray about, but you never know. Right. Those. Right. Those. That's the scary thing. But then, and I could tell you, I remember one time as a worship leader, I had what I call hot-blooded Latino women that were on my team, and they were loud. They were expressive. They were, I don't like you as my leader, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And then that's where the leader comes in to say, okay, Lord, I can fall into the religious experience and say what I really want to say and make a decision that I'm going to end up regretting, or I can be in the worship, the genuine worship experience, and realize, okay, God, what are you trying to say about me in this situation? How can I live a life pleasing to you? And how can I share and demonstrate the love of Jesus in a situation where there's conflict and resentment and, you know, hot-blooded people? You got a lot of hot-blooded people, and a lot of the hot-blooded people are in the worship ministry. Let's be honest. We have a lot of hot-blooded people in the worship ministry, angry, resentful, frustrated, musicians, singers, leader, the whole nine yards. And that's where we have to allow the Spirit of the Lord to begin to do a work in those situations.
Yes.
Listen, there's going to be different groups that are going to be attacked, but one of the most attacked ministries are the worship ministry. Because they're in the front line. All of us, all of you, are in the front line of battle. And when you're in the front line of battle, you're right there. You're going to be hit the first. You're going to be the first one to be hit. Because you're right out there. That's why we have to surrender and we have to be empowered by the Spirit. And we're going to get into that right now. So these tasks are important that we talked about, right? Rehearsing, prepping. We talked about the official rehearsal, the prepping of the rehearsal, team building, shaping the talent of your team. So you have to develop skill. How many get frustrated with trying to develop skill? You know, trying to sharpen something, and it's like this knife just doesn't want to sharpen. Lord, I want to throw it out. You know? Right? Song selection. Oh, Lord Jesus, right? Song selection. You know, Lord, what is it that you want us to bring? And then you bring what the Lord has given you, and then you have people that are like, oh, come on, I'm going to sing those songs. You know, you didn't sing my song last week.
Listen.
I'm just giving you real life scenarios. How many have experienced that? Oh, wow, you didn't sing my song last week. There's some people that may be in a religious experience, but you have to maintain your true, genuine worship experience. I'm not going to go based upon what everybody likes. I'm going to go based upon what he wants. And sometimes what God wants, well, let me not say sometimes, most of the time or all of the time, what God wants, a lot of people may not like. I've learned that as a leader. I've learned that as a minister, that a lot of my preferences may not be what God wants, you know? And a lot of things may align with what I want. Well, yeah, okay, Lord, I'm excited about this idea. And you may be so excited about what God wants because you like it too. But then when you bring it to a culture that's filled with people that are in a religious experience, it may feel like you're being attacked and you're not listening to God. But I came to encourage you this morning, well, this afternoon, actually. I came to encourage you that you need to keep pressing forward and listening to the voice of the Lord. Don't listen to the other voices that want to bring you to the side and push you to the side. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Be empowered by His Spirit. So we talked about all these different things, but there are two important elements that that's important in the worship experience. Two, number one, being Spirit empowered, and number two, being biblically centered. It doesn't matter. All these duties and tasks that we do in worship, they're needed. But if you don't have these two elements, it really doesn't matter. It'll just be clashing of cymbals. It'll just be hitting a drum. It'll just be pushing forward a voice on a microphone. It'll be just turning on a sound system. If we don't have these two elements, if we don't have Spirit-empowered individuals and those that are being biblically centered, we will not do anything. Yeah. It'll be noise.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be genuine worship. All right? So let's look at some key definition. Let's talk about what this means. Simple terms. All right? So key definitions. So Spirit empowerment, it's the experience of the Holy Spirit's active presence and power in the life of a believer. When you are Spirit empowered, your life is constantly growing in Christ. See, when you come to a moment in your journey and walk with Jesus where you don't feel the stretching, or when you feel the stretching as a musician, as a worshiper, as a leader, and you're not allowing the Holy Spirit that dwells within you to grow you and to change something in you, there is an issue. There is an issue. See, being empowered is not what some people paint it to be. I had a young adult or a youth that said, you know, Pastor Ray, this was probably a year or two ago, that said, you know, when I think about, you know, being on fire for God or being spirit empowered, you know, I compare it to, you know, this person being with so much energy. And this person that's, you know, like a character from Dragon Ball Z. And I said, oh. And for those I don't know who are older, it was an anime show that, yeah, it was a cartoon of people that were powered up. So, you know, that must be what it means to be on fire for God, you know. And I said, you know, I mean, I can see where you're trying to come at. But the reality, someone who's spirit empowered and where the Holy Spirit's active presence and power is in their lives is someone that's always yielding to the presence. Mm-hmm. It's someone that's always going and having their heart open and being willing to be heart checked by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to grow you. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit wants to develop you. He doesn't care about your musical talent more than he cares about your character. Amen. More than what he cares about your soul. At the end of the day, when you and I see Jesus face to face, he's not going to say, well done, great musician. Well done, great singer. Amazing job, guitarist. You were in tune. Well done. No, he's going to say, you were in tune with your guitar, but your heart was out of tune. Your voice was in tune, but your heart was out of tune. You thought that you were in tune. And, you know, this is the scary thing about when we don't allow the Spirit of God to shape us and be spirit empowered, is we could come to a point where we don't even realize that we're out of tune. Have you ever met someone, people that know how to sing in this room, have you ever met someone that says, I can sing. You know, I'm in tune. I'm in tune. And they get aggravated. And you're like, no, you're out of tune. You don't sound, that doesn't sound good. No, but because, you know, especially back in our culture, you know, because back in my country, you know, I sang for the choir and, you know. Yeah. But the scariest thing is not knowing you're out of tune.
And they don't know.
They don't know. And it's frustrating as the leader because you're trying to tell them, sis, brother, you're out of tune, man. You got to work, you know. But that's scary, isn't it? It's scary, or it's funny when you think about it in the physical, but how scary it is now when we think about the soul and being empowered. How many of us that are in worship ministry are out of tune with our hearts aligned with God?
Yes.
And we don't know it. And we don't know it, and it causes so much issues here. And again, the one thing that Jesus is concerned about is what's happening here before what happens there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And here's the thing that I learned from somebody, and I heard this quote from a worship conference, is that, you know, God is the only one or the boss that will let you keep working even though all this inside is all messed up. But okay, you want to keep working, but I'm knocking on the door of your soul and I want to get in there. But, you know, people are being ministered to and, you know, all that can. Let me tell you something. Don't let all of that be a distraction to what's happening here. Because we can kind of measure, you know, our religious experience or what we think is our worship experience by what's happening to people out there. Listen, God will use anybody to minister. He'll use a donkey to speak. He'll use a rock to speak. He'll take you who's out of alignment. And if it means using you to minister to the brother over there to have salvation, he'll do it. But that doesn't hide the fact that there's something in here that he wants to do in you. Yeah. So let's not compromise that. Let's not think that what's happening out there means that everything good is in here. Because let me tell you, I am a testament of God using me and seeing great things happening. I know it's the Lord doing something over there and thinking that that means I'm okay. Because a lot of us have ministered not okay. Amen? Alrighty. Is everyone still okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do we mean by Bible-centric, biblically-centered? Bible-centric or biblically-centered refers to the perspective, approach, or practice that places the Word of God at the core of one's beliefs, values, decisions, and actions. It involves prioritizing the teachings, principles, and truths found within the Bible as the ultimate authority for faith and practices, at the end of the day, one thing that I'm so grateful for is the Word of God. See, the Word of God is the guide. The Word of God is what measures out the mess that's inside of you and lets you know there's something wrong here. Don't go to someone's word. Don't go to someone else's voice. Go into the Word of God. And as worshipers, we have to get into His Word. And sometimes when we get into His Word and we get aligned and we want to start jumping into that true worship experience, that that empowered Bible-centric experience, there are some things that He'll reveal about you and about what you're doing if you start getting into His Word. Listen, being Bible-centric to the flesh is a scary, scary thing because it'll shout you out. The Word of God will correct. The Word of God will tell you, listen, the way that you're thinking is not the way it should be. The Word of God will say, the way that you're leading is not the way it should be. We have to be in tune with the truth of the Word. All right? So here's some 3 points that I think can help us with being Spirit-empowered, Bible-centric, and live a life or be under the experience of true, genuine worship. The Bible says He's looking for true worshipers that'll worship in spirit and in truth. He didn't say, I'm looking for true singers. He didn't say, I'm looking for true musicians. He didn't say, I'm looking for a true production team. He said, I'm looking for true worshipers that'll worship in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so here are three points. All right, let's get through this. 3 points. Number one, we must understand the nature of worship. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We look at this point, and listen, I'll send this over to some. I do have slides and notes to send over to you. But when we look at this, this gives us a big understanding of true, genuine worship. Jesus comes and says, okay, everything that you've been doing, your tradition, the religiosity, that's all now thrown out the water. Because this is what true worship looks like. This is what true worship is. True worship is not about the external. True worship is about the internal and about connecting to the Spirit of God. This is the beginning of what we see Jesus saying. This is what a Spirit-empowered person is. Someone who's a true worshiper is going to worship in spirit and in truth, not just out there on a stand or on a stage, but they're going to do it in their life. See, worship is your lifestyle. Worship is not music. Worship is your lifestyle. Worship is not a slow song. Worship is your lifestyle. You got to live a lifestyle of praise and worship and joy. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to understand the nature of worship. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 make a great distinction of what that is. Number two, the role of the Holy Spirit in worship. Check this out. Romans 8:26, verse 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When you are in true, genuine worship, the Holy Spirit is going to assist you in weakness. He's going to intercede on your behalf. How many have felt the intercession of the Holy Spirit when you didn't have the words?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's just a groaning. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to say. But you feel the empowerment of the Lord. You feel the Spirit of God over you when you're going through hard times, especially in worship ministry. There's a lot of groaning in worship ministry, isn't there? There's a lot of groaning in secret in worship ministry. And if we understand the role of the Holy Spirit, His role is to assist. His role is to guide. His role is to help you understand what He wants, not what you want, okay? And my third point I want to share is biblical foundations of worship. Look what Psalm chapter 95, verse 1 through 7 says. It says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Today, if you hear his voice, at the end of the day, do you see anything regarding really you in that? It's all about him. By worship in biblical context is about him. When we focus on him, you're going to see the fruit of the Spirit manifested. You're going to see the Spirit of God move in a mighty way in your worship services when it's about him, not about us.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
So, I don't know if I ran out of time. I have 1 minute left. All right, I'll give you 1 minute. I gave you a sheet of paper. We're going to read this very quickly. Thoughts of a worship pastor and leaders that are not spirit empowered. These are some things you might have thought of. I hope I hit all the right notes and impress everyone with my vocal range and musical skills. Have someone ever said that before? I've said that. I wonder what people will think about the song selection and the arrangements. Are they enjoying the music? Am I receiving enough positive feedback? Anyone said that to yourself before?
Mm-hmm.
I've said that. I wish I could sing or play like that person. They seem to have a better voice or more talent than me. Anyone say that before?
Mm-hmm.
I've said that before. I can't stop thinking about that mistake I made during the last song. It really bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone said that?
Yes.
I said that.
Yeah.
I love being in the spotlight and receiving recognition for my musical abilities. Maybe you haven't said that physically, but inside, the way you act sometimes says that. We've done that. I didn't have time to pray or meditate on scripture. Listen, we can go through all these different thoughts of what a worship leader who's not spirit empowered would say. But then, and I'll close with this, you want to change all those thoughts, and you have it on your paper, to these prayers and have the mindset of a true worshiper. Okay? And it's on your paper in the back. Pray this. Surrender.
Amen.
Dependence on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Spiritual preparation. Amen. And all that beautiful good stuff. Well, I hope you were blessed by that. Be spirit empowered. Be biblically centered. And worship tomorrow, surrendering. Amen.